that is the probability. The plans are partly practical, partly emotional, and so on. And everything goes topsy-turvy when it works the other way around.
Well, I think you as an entity wouldn't... I really have felt that you wouldn't have come to the realizations that you're coming to without the withdrawal of the field around you. It wasn't your field in the first place.
No.
It was another person's field.
Yes,
and
right.
This can, in the sequence of the necessity of it, in order for you to do certain levels of work, it's honorable, and there is an integrity to allowing that. But then there is a point at which one is weakened by it, and you're sensing what you have to catch up to in order to reestablish your own field.
Yeah, but it all involves strain.
Well, initially it does. This is true. I there's no way around it. I don't know of any other way. It was like when I had to consciously develop a field around me to buffer, called a shield.
Yes, it is a shield. You got to maintain it. Of course, it made work possible. There's a figure that might suggest what it was. After Sharifa's death, I was in a position where I couldn't produce any more part-time. And there was a complex situation. I put it down on tape. And then the NTO drew me up. I handled that. The death wish, the desolation, and then something mysterious. I'd like to have it investigated, or investigated myself, and that is a sense of bleeding. There's some mystery about that. There was a Herman Graves who had been a hypnotherapist, and he gave Sharifa quite a long period of treatment, and it was very helpful to her, and he became ultimately a friend of the family. He had the capacity to move in the astral, and he had clairvoyant capacity, probably similar to what you have. And he accepted the idea of bleeding. He said, "I was keeping Sharifa alive." Well, at one time she was throwing off the oxygen, and I was insisting on her keeping it. He saw it. He was way down in Los Angeles. Nonetheless, he saw it up in Santa Barbara. He said she wanted to go in, and I was keeping her alive, but everything indicated that she said her personality wanted to live. I said we'd support her so long as she wanted to live. Well, I think I built up a kind of vital transfusion. That is, in other words, a kind of extension of my own prana to her.
Yes.
Then when she died, I had this sense of bleeding, a subtle bleeding.
Well, you were also receiving, though. I think it has to be looked at from two different levels. It came to a realization yesterday that both women, both Sharifa and Gertrude, literally gave their energy to you to support you in a certain level while you went to do your work.
Yeah, but this was in the time when she was, for about a year, dying.
Yes, and then there was a pull that you brought your energy to share, and it's like it's seen on the inner planes as a channel or a connection, a tube that connects two people. It's the connection between mother and offspring. The same process holds true. It's a It's an energy...
Energy exchange.
Exchange.
Yes. Well, of course, and when she was ill, she couldn't be a supporting force. I had to support her, naturally.
Yes.
And so when she died, it is as though... well, like the connection between Siamese twins, you might say. I found myself, felt like bleeding. My impression was that it meant death if it wasn't stopped. I couldn't stop it. But I discovered this, that if I was near to certain women, it would stop. I don't know why. I don't understand the...
It's tied into mother. It's tied into the mother offspring, this is all done on a subconscious level. This is not in the aware levels of consciousness.
No, but the effect was in the aware level.
Yes, and you transferred from one energy you have found throughout your life, always the supporting system, usually through the feminine, not always, but mostly, through the feminine, and how to tap that energy that would sustain a certain level of you while you could go into this other portion of your consciousness. Each of these women came forward to do that for you, even though at the very end with Sharifa, you had to bring more energy in.
Of course, that's the only thing to do.
But at the same time, at some point, the only way that you would ever fully reach for a dimension or a source of energy that did not require it from somebody else is what we call slaying of the feminine, the external feminine, the internalization of the feminine.
No, there were very few women that were blocked by just being near them.
Mm-hmm.
The nurse that we had in had that capacity. And, this Herman Graves brought out one candidate one time, but she belonged to another religious group. She had the capacity to block. They don't know what it does. They don't do anything consciously. Well, I just studied for a while. Figured that if I did nothing, I'd pass in. I wondered whether I should or not. I finally decided that I should try to go on. But I had to have that stop. No one out here. They had to be oriented to the work, too. I went to Chicago. Jean brought out, as we stopped at Mary. Now there was one of the students there, Mary Miller. She didn't have a book. She's completely dedicated, but she couldn't stop the bleeding. Nothing that they did consciously had anything to do with it. Just being in the vicinity. Well, he brought out three to the evening we arrived in Chicago. I was a guest at the Miller Home. One was married, so she was out. But they all seemed to have the power. Oh, I felt it strongly. Just came in the room. Gertrude was among them. And one, Francie. I took it up with Francie first, and she was committed to a brother who was an alcoholic. They had to be uncommitted, and they had to be wholly willing and dedicated to the work. So Gertrude was the first one that met all of the conditions. She had no commitment, but stood in the way. She was fully dedicated to the work, and she had the full capacity to stop that bleeding. And so I told her to come with me out to the coast for a month's tryout before making her final decision, to see how living with me would be. She was quite ready to cut off her and end her job. It was a good one. Park service, map making, and so on. And very excellent location, building out in the park in San Francisco. near the Field Museum. Well, we came on out here, and at the end of the month, she was still willing to go ahead. I worked up a religious service, which we had, which I considered the real service for marriage. It was attended by the students. Then we went over to Arizona and had a civil service at Jim Briggs' house. He was general superintendent of the Phelps Dodge Mine at Howe at the time. We had a service by the Justice of the Peace. I handled the religious part. Started on from there. Well, now there are, from that relationship affection movement wasn't there to begin with, but it grew. I'm not falling in love. I don't think it's a good basis for marriage.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. And, Robert Johnson says there's an important difference between loving and falling in love. Well, it grew and was strongest at the end. The bleeding stopped, and when Murtard went, it did not start again, so it was cured. But she carried out several functions other than purely the domestic ones that were a real help for the work.
Well, you did undergo a period of time following Gertrude's passing and where you had the sense of bleeding because you discussed it with me this last time. It wasn't cured. You passed through a fast recapitulation of it, and we looked at it and what was necessary. I still feel that it was the attachment to where you move into an energetic with another human being, and then you must seal and take the time to close off that, and this you must do consciously when you're aware of it. You had a choice back even with Gertrude, before Gertrude. It sounds as if there were only two choices to you, to go in or to find another feminine agency. The choice was the same back in 1959 or 1960, whenever this was.
59.
As you were brought to this period of time, and that was once again the election was whether or not you were going to seek the resource and the energy from the external, or you were going to activate and heal, seal the area where you lose your vitality and begin to draw upon your internal strengths. In other words, it's the difference between pulling energy, what we call adrainers in the metaphysical sense, where they pull energy from anything and everything, even from machines. They don't care where they draw it from. Anything, because they have lost the sense of deep inner connection with the divine portion of their beingness. Therefore, they tend to draw it from anything and anybody. I really feel that deepest connection, in order to be that radiant, when you actually are into inductive states of consciousness, you stop your process of pulling. When you actually are into inductive states of consciousness, you stop your process of pulling, and you tap another whole resource that not only energizes people, but it energizes you. It gives you that sense of high and well-beingness. There is a tendency for you to oscillate between, at this point now, the process of letting go and going in, and finishing up and doing whatever you want to do. There also the specter of staying around for a longer period of time than 1 year isn't too satisfactory to you either.
No, it's kind of a strain. But I do want to leave things in shape, round it out as much as
which raises the question of the every once in a while, because I know the danger of getting locked into a house of mirrors of one's own consciousness, I consult with a highly gifted woman in Los Angeles who, it's very similar to, like, every once in a while you consult with Irma Pounds in Arizona. Well, there's someone in Los Angeles that I usually consult with when I have, and I can't quite get free enough of my own consciousness to see clearly. I had brought to her attention that we were looking at this last phase that we were working with between you and myself, and she said, but there's something very important here that it needs to be clarified and cleared up, and that is that there is an interference on my part with whomever you have been working with to develop and take over your work from the standpoint, and I don't know whether it's Gene or whoever it is, and this has led to a disruption that should not be. In other words, whoever was in the process of being able to take over and to teach and to lead your classes, my working with you mustn't interfere with that, because that person has been trained and brought forward, whoever it is.
Well, I think Gene, for the time being, but only pretty well on the years, so that he would be, not for long. Ultimately, Robert Briggs.
Okay, well, whoever it is, it's being displaced momentarily by our interaction, because of the energy that I carry can sweep and tend to give a feeling of inadequacy to certain people, and it mustn't happen. Jim Briggs, whoever is going to
Robert
be...
Robert Briggs.
Robert Briggs.
That's the son. Jim is past him.
Right, okay. Well, whoever is to take over the material and work really needs to be assured that there's no interference coming from my part. And I think anybody else needs to be assured that this is not to happen, because of there's a developmental sequence here in a karmic pattern. Whoever, that's probably Karen. Anyway, the karmic pattern and the preparation of this individual is very important. In my focus to clarify the process of death that you're working on, which happens to be a very similar area that I'm exploring, tended to disrupt momentarily this particular process.
And I wasn't aware of that. I didn't think of its interference.
Well, it has.
To be aware of something I'm not aware of course.
Well, it's in the consciousness of Robert then, and also Gene. And Gene needs to be reassured by you, and so does Robert, of what the sequence of flow is, so that there's no sense in either one of them that there is a displacement of energy. If there is, it will disrupt the flow of your work as it eventually comes out over the years. She cautioned me very, very pointedly that this must be brought forward into your consciousness so that these people can be somehow reassured in your own way, so that there's no sense of competition, there's no sense of anything other than our work is very clear as I see it, which is the process of exchange of certain energy levels that we're working on that does not have to do with the potentiation or of your work. That is all settled and straightened out within alignment that you have established.
Yeah, well, you know that there are different schools of Buddhism, and yet it is said that the representatives of these different schools can live quite happily together in the same monastery. That means this, that there are different paths of approach. Mine and yours are not precisely the same, but we can meet.
Mm-hmm.
And their philosophic orientations or assumptions are different.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you can't meet.
That's true.
I don't change my philosophy because you have a different philosophy.
Right.
But there's work that can be done. Now, it may be in relation to that, that this line in which I have been functioning might be distorted. And I think I can prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
No,
yes.
I listen to you, and I get a lot of value out of your wisdom. But I'm not, therefore, shifting my philosophic position.
No, it's apparent. I can listen to the tape, and I can also sense where you are. It would be, the intent isn't to sway. The intent is to share.
Yeah, I know. I understand that perfectly well. And I think I'm strong enough not to move to a position against my will.
Exactly. There is a, and not only the energy is being brought forward, as I'm looking at it, was not to bring forth a, the interaction was not to sway you, but to...
I understand that.
And it had to be handled very carefully when you were at your weakest and vulnerable, most vulnerable point.
Yes, I know that. No, I think I know my own mind, and I can learn wisdom from one that belongs to a different school.
You're right. Well, there was the, she had clearly pointed out that your work based, and she's one of the ones who had picked up that your work is based on chakra.
Oh, she did.
That you are essentially representing that vibration, and that it was very important that you complete the sense of the transference of that energy, because it's like a single, you carry it as a single vibration that can be transferred or inducted into many people. And part of the Asilomar conference represents your induction carrying this particular energy. This isn't done consciously, it's done on an entirely different energy dynamic. But the very important aspect of chakra as a distinct energy in and of itself, to what you carry. My work lies in a different area, but they are they're contiguous. They relate, but they are not one and the same.
No, that's true. I've been aware of that all along, and I'm not letting my own basic orientation be swayed, but I'm learning wisdom from another point of view.
The reason why this had come up is because of I had asked her about the aspect of should I consider the purchase of the acreage or something like that, as since this area is so uplifting to me. And she said it would have to be handled very carefully because of the interference with the other people. In other words, Robert is not yet strong enough to carry the energy.
No.
My energy is too strong right now for your gathering and for the people that you work with, and it would be a mistake for me to come in and be around when these people are going to be asked to strengthen in their own rights.
Yes, I would apply to them. No, I think I can hold my position.
You know, your position is fine. It's the other two that the reader was concerned about. She said these two are, she really said one. Now, my immediate impression was that she was talking about Gene, and Gene...
Well, Gene could, I figured, would fill in the gap between me and when Robert could take over.
Right.
He's pretty well on in years, and he probably wouldn't function very long.
No, this is true. this is true. Well, as long as it was seen very clearly so that there can be no interference here. Your work is too important to have to any way be skewed by my particular energy. So it's not you. And the reader was very clear about this anyway. It wasn't the concern there. This was working out dynamics of the as we're looking, we're both looking at a very similar process. Only I'm approaching it from the side of the heart looking at the crown, and you're looking at the crown and approaching it towards the heart. The interesting part is that we're both involved with similar dynamics, only from different paths.
Yeah. Yes, that's true, and I've noticed it has a swaying effect upon Jim and Karen both.
Yes. Well, it's also part of it's as you're holding a pattern, the chakra pattern is a very deep, few people fathom the depth and the profundity of that particular pattern, which you carry. It's not available to most people because they can't reach intellectually into the full realm and scope of it.
You know, In the secret doctrine, he's called the adept of adepts.
That's right.
And do you know his life at all?
Yes, I do. I know the sequence of events. I also know the story of that when the Toku was, the intermediate principle was withdrawn.
Yeah, that was the end of his life. But, of course, we've got to keep in mind East Indian exaggerations, so you don't know how precise the record is. But the story in the biographies I have seen is that he returned from the pundits at the age of 7 to his mother, having learned everything that they could teach him. Now, the pundit would correspond to the academy in the West here.
Yes.
And then he felt the call to the guru. And he asked his mother if he could go, and his mother thought he was far too young, naturally, at age 7. So she wouldn't give permission. But he had powers. And they had a stream running by the house, and he fixed up the illusion of a crocodile hold of his leg. Told his mother, said, "The crocodile won't let go unless you give me permission to go to the guru." And she gave him permission. He promised to come back if she needed it, and he went across the field in a beeline. And according to Super Rowe's account, now there are a lot of differences of opinion here. The guru was Patanjali. Now, there are other ideas about that. At the time, Patanjali was in a state of deep blackout samadhi. He wasn't conscious on this plane. And it was raining. And this kid, only 7 years old, stopped the rain. And Patanjali came through. He realized what had happened. And it had been predicted that his greatest disciple would be manifest of power. And he recognized that this kid was his greatest disciple. He said he stayed with the guru for 4 years, and he learned about four major realizations. And he graduated from the guru and was on his own at the age of 11. Gave his first sermon at Benares and began picking up disciples. Some of the biographers think that is incredible, impossible. Well, he wrote his masterpiece on the banks of the Ganges at the age of 16. That was the commentaries on the Brahma Sutras. Then it is said that the Vaisa, at least the author of the Bhagavad Gita, came in the appearance of an old Brahmin and raised 1,000 objections to his interpretations, all of which Shankara defended successfully. And then they said the Tuku was extended 16 years more. So it went on up to 32. Well, he founded four Mathams, which I understand still exist in India. And Swami Rama was for 3 years the head of one of them. And then the Tuku was withdrawn. And it said that he went into a cave, has never been seen since. Of course, it was suicidal. Now, the age, he was 33. And a statement from Tibetan sources is that the karmic penalty of that withdrawal was death against his will.
At the same age.
At the same age.
In a later life.
In a later life. And of course, at once you begin to tie it in with the Christ.
Right. And
now, there are some who place his date at 700 A.D. In that case, it couldn't be, but Subbarao date is 510 B.C. He was an ascetic. Think of the sheer nerve of this situation. There was one Brahmin there whom he wanted as a disciple. And he wanted him to do some artwork on his book. And this Brahmin was teaching the path of the householder. And it was arranged to have an argument as to the path of the ascetic and the path of the householder. And of all things, the wife of the Brahmin was to be the judge of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
And think of the sheer nerve of meeting a situation like that. Shankara won so completely in the dialectic contest that she had to give him the victory, which meant she lost a husband.
Yes.
Because the husband became a disciple of Shankara then. Those were the terms. And if Shankara had lost, he'd have to become a householder.
Mm-hmm.
That is incredible.
It's a beautiful, it's a magnificent demonstration, isn't it?
There was a certain kiddishness about him because outside, he was a teenager through his early work. And in some respects, he was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But he was a master dialectician.
Are the translations of his work clear?
I found what I've read very clear. In fact, I've known when I start a sentence, I know what was coming before I read it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I stopped reading him because I felt it was my job was not to be just a continuation of the thought of Shankara.
Mm-hmm.
And that I had something else to do in addition to that.
Yes.
So that I'd long ago discontinued our reading it.
Well, it was the mastery over the levels of the psyche, that over the consciousness, the mental realm, that you were really attracted to, and then took that energy, which is the chakra, that's what we call the chakra vibration. It's not so much the external manifested areas. That vibration of
that vibration applied to a different subject matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what you've done.
Yes, I'm merely repeating chakra. I saw the danger of doing that. So I just continued the deliberate reading, deliberately the reading of it. But to carry that over to a different problem.
Exactly. Yes, because you could have been absorbed in doing nothing but carrying out a recapitulation process rather than the essence of it. This is the problem over and over again, as I see the problem of establishing a school or a line of thought, and that is that they get stuck in the external manifested works rather than the vibration that is to be continued on.
Yeah.
The level. In other words, you're in the process, whether you're fully aware of it or not, but you're in the process of inducting that particular vibration amongst more than 10 people in the world as you get ready to depart. And whether you do it this year or you do it 4 years from now isn't a concern. Mm-hmm. You're in the process of seeding this vibration before you leave. Mm-hmm. And it is contained behind the work, behind your external work is the energy of this particular vibration.
Yes.
And this is what you're really in the process of doing. It's not just the cleaning up of your own personal life that you're getting ready to do, Dr. Wolf. You're in the process of consciously or unconsciously impregnating this vibration within certain people. And it will operate and function in its own way from that. It's not necessarily the preservation of anyone's work, it's the vibration. So this,
you mean that's being done to persons I don't even know?
Yes. Persons that you're not, because it's very interesting, you have elected to hold your consciousness partitioned as you've worked on certain areas. It's not that you don't have access to this knowledge if you wanted to, but because it's sort of like the election that you took as far as a non-biological approach in marriage, you have taken through your own volition a partitioned approach towards certain levels of consciousness, I think very clearly to hone down and focus with the intensity that energy does. At the same time, it has partitioned a certain portion that doesn't give you personal access to awareness that others may have. And that awareness is not always perfectly accurate, but it is astounding in what it can see. It's a process of 12 people that you're inducting throughout the world before you leave. You're operating more and more on a collective, and I know that you have a personal thing that you carry on, but it is really the deepest hope inside of me that somehow you capture a much vaster portion of your beingness that's still operating, while a very small segment of you is undergoing the process of grief and still releasing the aspect of the experience and still integrating it one way or another. There is a vaster thing that you're participating in, and it's your choice to either become consciously aware of that or more conscious of it, or to remain fairly fixated on this event that took place. Now, the personal area is the personal area and it can't be denied, but at the same time, there is this, it's sort of like there's something inside of me that needs to say clearly, the time is short in one sense, and one can't overindulge. It's like, there's a difference between an overindulgence, which will lead to a distortion of your work, versus a balance that understands when you look at it and feel to it. It doesn't deny it, it doesn't try to block it out, it doesn't repress it. But at the same time, you capture the vaster vision of what you're involved with, and you're involved with the collective energy, which has to do with the dissemination not only of the Western path, which you've delineated, but you're in the process of, as has been done for millennia, you're in a process of, which is your right, to transfer this state or this awareness or this energy vibration. It's like you encapsulate it and give it to certain people. And you're in the process of doing that, of which a Silomar will attract many, many people who are there to receive that particular impress, and it will happen in a twinkling of an eye. A master transfers that very quickly. It doesn't take a long 7-year process. When the master is getting ready to transfer the energy, it's done almost instantly. And the person is aware at a deeper level when that transfer takes place. So it's like a few of my friends who have undergone tremendously painful situations, there isn't any of us that haven't passed through some deep personal areas this past year. It's been a demanding year. But at the same time, not to get swayed and swept up in the emotional components of it, but to maintain that very difficult balance in honoring the emotion and yet at the same time honoring that there's a vaster plan going on and keeping one's inner eye on the deepest, most important aspect of whatever it is that you're here for. There's a difference between invaginating into your heavy burdened heart at the solar plexus level, and the heart that I speak about was the heart that I spoke to you about last time, which is contained within the emotional plane. There is the anahata, which is not contained within the emotional plane. It is not an astral state of consciousness. It is an entirely different state of consciousness and very hard. It is as difficult to reach as the crown in its purity. The anahata is not understood, nor is the crown understood. When you talk, very few people, I doubt that there has been one or two out of all of the people to whom you have spoken that have appreciated the deepest portion of what you are bringing through. They have a glimpse of it, they may flicker and so on, but to appreciate the totality of it is a rarity. The same thing holds true for the heart. They all think that the feeling, emotive level is the heart, and they keep telling me, my heart is open, after all I feel this love and so on, and it's a conditioned form and it is an emotionalized form. It is not pure love, just as you can discern the difference between pure reason and non-pure reason.
Yeah, I think that the anahata field should have another name. And I suggest that this universal benevolence.
It's a good word because it still maintains the human aspect to it. I have used the term unconditional love, that does not have a conditional component to it, which eliminates immediately the emotional love, because the emotional love has a condition to it. It is a specific, it is an individualized. The anahata has no individualized portion to it. It is a universal state.
Yeah, universal benevolence.
It's an excellent term for it.
It's like a force in nature, I'd say, like the sunshine that shines upon the just and the unjust equally. Law of gravity, same way.
Yes.
And the rain falls the same way.
Yes.
It's like that. And a human and even non-human entities may be the agents for its action.
It must be understood why it's been stated as the cohesive force of the universe. Over and over again, the essence of love, the essence of love. The confusion lies in our emotive levels and also our mental ideas of love. Anahata is an experience that cannot be articulated, no matter how hard one will try to articulate it. It's like it simply cannot be articulated, just as pure reason really can't be articulated. It's a state of consciousness. We use the words to attempt to bring through the experience.
Shankara may have been almost exclusively on the side of pure reason. The condition which Buddha came to cure was suffering. Shankara came to cure ignorance.
But you know, I see one and the same. For suffering and ignorance to me are one and the same process.
Well, there would be different sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Christianity, the key, I think, is given. It's really St. Paul's religion, mm-hmm. more than any other.
Mm-hmm.
And where he says, I do that which I would not do and leave undone that which I should do, so forth. Well, I said, in that case, the negative thing was a perverse will.
There's somehow a tie-in here of the chakra. There, if we take the Christian model as it has finally come through to us of the of the man Christ, we see a emotionalized state of the heart center. Just as there are certain aspects within the Buddhistic work about Buddha that is emotionalized also. And yet the essence, the Christos, the messianic that carries the compassion that is not emotionalized, is somehow the differentiation that I make between those that place the level of Christianity at the level of the crucifixion and the pain and the suffering, which to me is a solar plexus astral level or state of consciousness and very superficial. It is like what you were discussing last night in the tape, which is like a pain and suffering is like a ripple on a deck.